Welcome to High Cheese. It's Friday, March 8th, 2024. And that was not a State of the Union address last night. It was the farthest thing from it. Joe Biden does not want you to know about the State of the Union today, because it's in a bad shape. It's in a bad way. Got high inflation, high interest rates, wars, an invasion at the border. The leading Republican presidential candidate is being attacked by Biden through lawfare and election interference. No wonder that Biden doesn't want to talk about the State of the Union, because it's in a bad way. And from a broad standpoint, it was nothing more than just some doddering old man. And what I mean by a doddering old man is that you can be old and have your faculties, but he does not. So this speech was nothing more than just a doddering old man just rushing through words that they told him to talk, interspersed with some yelling and screaming. Quite frankly, I don't even think he understood what he was talking about. And it became nothing more than just a political speech attacking his opponents. And that's not what we want from our State of the Union. But can you blame Biden? The State of the Union is terrible. And what he just drew on is just, he was hitting upon these old school Democrat talking points. Nothing new. Just trying to gin up his far left communist base that has taken over the Democrat Party today. He fails to acknowledge inflation. He's telling us that inflation went down. It didn't go down. Inflation is up 18% since he took office. But he just goes out there and flat out lies to the American people. And in typical Democrat form, what they do is they create a problem like inflation, and then they throw bones at the people through their policy. One of the good examples is that he wants to reduce credit card fees. And what is that supposed to do for people? It saves them 10 bucks a month? Meanwhile, he created this massive inflation that's costing the American people thousands of dollars a year. But that's all they want to do. They sit in a room. They know they created this problem. And their attitude is, oh, let's throw them some bones. Let them think that we're doing something, when in reality, they're not doing anything to help the American people. But it sounds good. And it sounds good to the people that are low information voters. What the American people want is inflation to be cured. The expectation of most Americans is that inflation gets back to the point where it was pre-pandemic. And if you talk about these experts on Wall Street, these experts in Washington, they're trying to make America believe that, oh, it's never going to go back. Well, I disagree with that. I think with the right president in place, the right policies in place, you can get inflation back to where it was before the pandemic. And the next thing I want to talk about with this speech is that, and I'm going to go to a clip on this. It has to do with Biden attacking the Supreme Court while they were sitting there. Let me play this clip and then we'll come back and discuss, because this was never, ever seen in a State of the Union address before. So let's go to this clip and then we'll come back and discuss.
And with all due respect, justices, women are not without electoral power. Electoral or political power. You're about to realize just how much you're right about that.
What exactly are they going to realize? Now, if Donald Trump said something like that, oh, it would be a threat. Headlines, Donald Trump threatens Supreme Court. But Joe Biden is allowed to say this. And you know why Joe Biden is allowed to say this? Because he's the threat to democracy. This whole power structure that we have in Washington is a threat to democracy. And typical Democrats, they love to project. So what they're going to do is they're going to call Donald Trump the threat to democracy. Remember the pandemic? Remember all these mandates coming from the White House that mandated people get vaccinated? Remember the pressure the White House put on private corporations to mandate that their employees get vaccinated? Even after the CDC knew that these vaccines weren't really vaccines. And then as a sideboard, during the speech, he mentioned something about the vaccines. And then he mentioned that these vaccines are also going to cure cancer. Where the heck did that come from? So let's get back to anti-democracy. How about the White House colluding with big tech to suppress free speech? How about that? Sounds undemocratic to me. The collusion that the White House and the deep state had with big tech to suppress your voice against the vaccine, against the government, to put your finger on the scale in favor of Biden during the 2020 election? How about that? How about going after your enemies? How about sending your DOJ after Donald Trump? That's not anti-democratic. That's not authoritarian. But again, this is what the Democrats, they're going to accuse their opponents of what they are. Next thing I want to talk about, this Laken Riley murder by an illegal immigrant. So heading up to the dais, Biden was handed a button by Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene that said, speak her name, Laken Riley. And today, Biden has yet to even address what's happened. And you know why he hasn't addressed? Because they don't care. And what they do is they rationalize it by saying, well, illegal immigration has the same crime as legal immigrants. And that's how they rationalize it. A lot of good that does for Laken Riley. And I've said this before. When you throw a massive amount of illegal immigrants into a society, the incumbent society has their crime increased. There's more crime on the incumbent society when you throw massive amounts of illegal immigrants into that society. That's a fact. But they don't want to address that fact because they don't care. They just ignore it. It's not, if it's not a part of our objective, they just ignore it. And this is what Joe Biden does. So listen to what he says, and then we'll come back and discuss.
Not really. Laken Riley, an innocent young woman who was killed by an illegal. That's right. But how many of the thousands of people being killed by illegals?
And Biden can't even get her name straight. He calls her Laken Riley. He says, well, think about all the people that were killed by legal immigrants. So that makes everything right about Laken Riley's murder. And that's how they think. They'll deny the facts and obfuscate the facts in order to try to prove a point. Now, they love to say they're data-driven. Well, this is just flawed data that he throws out there. Laken Riley would still be here if it was not for Joe Biden's border policies. And then speaking of the border policies, trying to just say I have nothing to do with the border. It's all because Congress won't get together and do a border policy. What he doesn't want you to know is that Joe Biden withdrew all of Donald Trump's border policies. And that's why we have the problem today. And he can still fix this. He can do executive orders bringing back most of Donald Trump's policies. But he doesn't want to do it because he wants this illegal immigration. These progressives, these communists, they want this illegal immigration. As well as these corporatist organizations, such as the Chamber of Commerce, who were closely aligned with rhinos over the past number of years. It drives down wages for new Americans coming here with green cards that have become residents. It drives down their wages. And those people in the middle class and upper middle class thinks that this doesn't affect them. There's a lot of middle class people that are coming over the borders. And they're coming for your jobs too. So this is not just affecting the working class. It's affecting them more, but it's affecting the middle and upper middle class also, not just the working class. And it's also a way for the Democrats, in their minds, to get more Democrat voters. They think that the more people that we throw into this country, the more people, the more of those new immigrants, illegals, are going to vote Democrat. And people like to talk about the replacement theory. Oh, it's these white people that worry about being replaced. That's not what the replacement theory is. We have so many more Hispanics and African Americans that are going to vote for Trump. Because there are so many more Hispanics and African Americans voting for Trump, they have to be replaced with new immigrants that are going to vote Democrat. That's what they want. And then you take a look at what a lot of these local units are trying to do. They're trying to get illegals to vote. They want illegals to be part of the census. And that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to skew everything in their favor. And the mainstream media is doing their best to prop up Biden. I saw a couple of headlines. Biden feisty in his State of the Union address. Biden confronts Republicans in the State of the Union address. And then they make a fact that, oh, he was so energetic and he stayed there late. He stayed there and shook people's hands until they turned out the lights after his speech. And the bar has been set so low for this president that the mere fact that he can make it through an hour speech is supposed to be some type of accomplishment. Is that what we want from our president? The ability to last through an hour speech without screwing up? And let me tell you something. If that's what they have to focus on, they've lost that battle. And I want to play a response from Donald Trump to the State of the Union address. It's either a pre-buttal or a post-response. So let's go to this clip, and then we'll come back and discuss.
Joe Biden's sad excuse for a State of the Union address aside, here are the facts. When I left office, we gave Joe Biden the most secure border in U.S. history. We gave him remain in Mexico, very tough to get, but I got it. Safe third agreements, the asylum ban, Title 42, 571 miles of border wall, rapid deportations, and much more. We had the safest border in the history of our country. As soon as he got in, Crooked Joe and his radical left lunatics deliberately dismantled each and every one of those policies that were so good that gave us this best border, according to Tom Homan, according to Brandon Judd, the top people. They said it was the single best border we've ever had in recorded history. What's happened now is a horror show. The country, our country, is being laughed at all over the world. Over the past 3 years, Biden has actively aided and abetted the importation of millions and millions of illegal alien migrants and resettled them into your communities. At any time during the past 3 years, Crooked Joe Biden, and he is crooked as you can be and the most incompetent president we've ever had, could have called off the invasion. But to this day, he is keeping the hordes of illegal migrants and illegal aliens pouring into the country. By the time his term is up, we could have close to 20 million people in our country. And we have no idea from where they come. We have no idea who they are. They have no identification. Many come from mental institutions. Many come from prisons. They're terrorists. We have a calamity the likes of which we've never seen before. The very first bill Joe Biden sent to Congress was a plan to turn illegal aliens into voting citizens. That's just what we need. No matter what Crooked Joe says, his actions prove his priority is to import a colossal new illegal alien population and let them all stay. My priority is securing our border and sending Crooked Joe's illegals back home.
And Trump is not anti-immigrant. He's anti-illegal immigrant. He understands that it's good for a country to have some form of immigration, but it's got to be legal and it's got to be controlled. And with that said, I want to go back to another clip with Trump. And he's responding to Joe Biden's shrinkflation comments during the State of the Union. And he's trying to blame corporations for this inflation, for shrinking the units in each package. So, for example, you know, years ago, you used to be able to get 16 ounces of potato chips in a bag. Now it's 5. But you're still paying the same price or more. So Joe Biden's trying to make you think that that's the cause of inflation. It's shrinkflation, which has been going on for years. But he wants to blame the corporations for inflation. So let's go to this clip, and Donald Trump responds to Joe Biden's shrinkflation.
Likewise, the sight of a feeble Joe Biden talking about shrinkflation, the term he uses, is one of the most ridiculous things this country has ever seen. Shrinkflation is just another way of saying inflation. It means that you're losing a lot of money because these people don't know what they're doing. It was all caused by crooked Joe Biden and the people that surround him. And they are radical left Marxists and fascists and communists and socialists. We have people running our country, the likes of which we have never seen before. He and the communists and his party looted trillions of dollars from you and spent it on illegal aliens and the Green New Scam, triggering the highest inflation in many, many decades. If your packages are getting smaller, that's the reason why, under my leadership, there was no inflation. We had the greatest economy in the history of the world. It's time to tell crooked Joe Biden, you're fired.
Now, shrinkflation has been going on for years, but apparently it's really been accelerating under Joe Biden. And Trump makes the point, shrinkflation is inflation. Companies are shrinking their packages because it's costing more for them to do business. It's accelerated under Joe Biden. I've noticed that packages are shrinking, but prices aren't going down. Take a look at bacon. Bacon used to be able to get a pound of it in a package. Now you're getting 12 ounces and paying the same price. It's a perfect example. But shrinkflation is just another form of inflation. So we shall see. So the Supreme Court came back this week, and in a 9-0 decision, they said it was unconstitutional for Colorado to try to take Donald Trump off the ballot. And I'm so happy it was a 9-0 decision, because even though you've got some extremely liberal people on the Supreme Court, they do realize what Colorado and these states were trying to do was just a power play. Had nothing to do with the Constitution. It was all about power. And that's why it's really important who we elect, whether it's locally, in the states, and in the federal government. Because remember, in government, as well as with many other things, you're only as good as your weakest link. And we have a lot of weak links out there. We have a lot of weak links with left-wing ideology, a Marxist ideology. And that's why it's important to elect the right people. So we shall see. Donald Trump had a big day on Tuesday. He nearly swept every race on Super Tuesday. Nikki Haley won one state, barely, state of Vermont. And the very next day she dropped out, which is good because I have absolutely no idea why she kept in the race for this long. The only conclusion I had is that she's got a payday at the end of the road here. She's either going to get a big, big job on some board with a defense contractor. Her husband is going to get contracts. Because quite frankly, she's hurt herself for 2028. As much as Ron DeSantis has hurt himself in 2028, Nikki Haley has hurt herself. And now everyone, particularly those surrounding Nikki Haley, are talking about, well, we now all have to get together. The Republican Party has to unite now. And quite frankly, I think the Republican voter will unite around Donald Trump. Now, there'll be some voters that won't vote for Donald Trump. But Donald Trump will make up for any marginal loss with Republicans by his expanding voter base, which includes the middle class, Hispanics, African Americans. So his base is expanding. So he can lose a little bit of the rhinos that will not vote for Donald Trump in November. Now the question is about the donor class. Are the donors going to support Donald Trump? Now we know that Nikki Haley's, at least a good chunk of Nikki Haley's donors were Democrats. So we really don't need them. So what is this push about coalescing, a come-together moment being pushed by? It's being pushed by the the likes of Karl Rove. And with that said, I want to go to a clip with Karl Rove. And he's talking about how Trump has to reach out to those that vote against him in the primaries. But you have to remember, a good chunk of those people that voted for Nikki Haley were Democrats. They're not going to vote for him in November. A lot of these primaries are open primaries. You had Democrats pushing, making a concerted effort to bring out the Democrat vote in the Republican primary to vote against Donald Trump. So I really think this really has to do with the voter, and I think most of the voters are going to coalesce around Donald Trump. The question is the donor class, and the question is, do we care? Because they're going to try to contribute when they smell a winner, and they do smell a winner with Donald Trump. Now, you're not going to get the Democrat donors that contributed to Nikki Haley, but you'll get the other ones. But here's why I'm a little cynical about this. You've got this whole coalescing being pushed by the likes of Karl Rove. And with that said, let me go to a clip by Karl Rove. He was on Fox News Night of Super Tuesday. So let's take a look.
Having said that, the high command of Team Trump ought to be concerned about unifying the Republican Party, because as we see in the in these states, a third of the vote in Virginia, 43% of the vote in Massachusetts going to Nikki Haley, a quarter of the vote in North Carolina. Maine has now dropped down to about a quarter of the vote, but it was 31% for Nikki Haley. Vermont, 48%. There's still some work to be done to unify the Republican Party, and that's going to depend a lot on his tone tonight and whether or not he stops doing things like calling her bird brain and threatening that if you give money to her campaign, you're going to be permanently banned. We'll see how he does tonight. He did well in Iowa with his victory statement, unifying, humble, gracious, not so good in New Hampshire. And tonight is going to be the big night, and he's going to set an important tone for either a unified Republican Party or a divided Republican Party.
Now, it's interesting that Rove is talking about all these states that Donald Trump didn't win, with the exception of North Carolina in 2020. Virginia, Massachusetts, Vermont. So he's taking polls from states that really, they're not big Trump states. And he doesn't need them to win. Now, what he's doing is he's extrapolating, well, if it happens in Vermont, it should be happening in the swing states. Well, if you take a look at all the swing state polls, Trump is winning. So it doesn't necessarily extrapolate into the swing states. But here's what... Here's the game that I think Rove is playing. He wants a contract, simple as that. Or he wants a contract for people that surround him. That's what he's looking for. Get me a contract with people I know that can pay me back on the back end, and then Donald Trump is doing the right thing. But that's the problem with all these consultants. It's all about them. They do their spin based on what they can make, what power they can exude. And that's why I'm a little skeptical about this whole movement to make nice with everybody in the Republican Party. Now, like I said before, the donors are going to follow a winner. They want a seat at the table. I don't know how much of a seat they're going to get with Donald Trump as president, but in their minds, if they make a big campaign contribution, they want a seat at the table. And the game that is played is that Rove will bring these donors to the Trump team, but there'll be a heavy implication that Rove has got to get a contract, or people that Rove supports get contracts. And that's how they work. Now, my mother is very, very good politically. She is very politically astute. So she calls me last night after the State of the Union. She goes, well, Joe Biden wants to raise taxes on corporations even more. So why is the Democratic Party the party of big tech, big business? Well, big tech and big business, they rely on big government. We now have the merger of big government and big corporations. They rely on each other today at the expense of capitalism and at the expense of democracy. Now, there's massive amounts of money that these tech firms receive from the federal government. And the federal government allows these companies to work with China. These tech firms love Chinese money. And that's why they're with Biden. Between these massive amounts of money that the Biden administration is giving these corporations, as well as allowing them to do business with China, they're going to be on board with additional corporate taxes, but they've hedged their bets, and I'll get into that later. So what's happened is we've turned into a mercantilist society. Not real capitalism, but it's corporations and big government walking down the street hand in hand at the expense of everyone else. And that's why they're all on board with so-called extra taxes on corporations. Now, here's their hedge. What these corporations also do behind the scenes is they hire consultants. They hire lobbyists. And what they do is work Congress. So on face value, oh, yeah, we're on board with the additional taxes for corporations. But these lobbyists and these consultants that they hire behind the scenes are working Congress to look for loopholes in any new tax law. Or to try to get any new taxes just done away with. And that's how they hedge their bets. And that's the game that they play. And this is all done at the expense of the American people. Now let's take a look at TikTok. Now TikTok is owned by a Chinese company called ByteDance. And the House wants to force the sale of TikTok to an American company. And this just came out of committee a week or two ago. 50-0, bipartisan, totally bipartisan. And it would give ByteDance 6 months to sell TikTok to an American company, or it would be banned in the United States. So let's go to an article here from Punchbowl News. The lobbying flop. House Republicans and Democrat insiders were caught off guard by a 50-0 drubbing in the Energy and Commerce Committee's vote to forced the sale of TikTok. It's very rare to see a company like TikTok, which has an army of lobbyists, caught so flat-footed on this legislation. TikTok spent $370,000 lobbying Congress in the fourth quarter of 2023 alone. TikTok's payroll includes heavy-hitting lobbyists such as former Senate Majority Leader Trent Lott, former Senator John Breaux, and former reps Joe Crowley and Jeff Denim. Yet, this has been an extraordinary few days in the long-running TikTok saga, an issue that has bedeviled Washington in years. Donald Trump signed an executive order in August 2020 banning TikTok unless it was sold to an American company. The order was never enforced due to concerns over possible legal challenges, and the Biden administration later withdrew it. And this is why big tech loves the Biden administration. Let's go to another article. This is from the New York Post. Headline says, Republican billionaire with $33 billion TikTok stake bullies lawmakers to stop bill forcing Chinese ByteDance sale. ByteDance is the company that owns TikTok, the Chinese company. A billionaire mega donor is bullying members of Congress by threatening to stop funding them if they back a bill to order TikTok's Chinese parent company to sell the app, the Post has learned. Hedge fund manager Jeff Yass is personally calling Republican members of the House to try to halt legislation that would force ByteDance to divest itself of the app, putting it into U.S. hands instead. His fund has a $33 billion stake in the Chinese company. The bill, known as Protecting Americans from Foreign Adversary Controlled Applications Act, was being marked up on Thursday. It would force ByteDance to either sell TikTok to an American company in 6 months or be banned entirely. The bill is jointly being drawn up by Republican Mike Gallagher, the chair of the House Select Committee on the Chinese Communist Party, and the Democratic ranking member, Rep. Raja Krishnamurti. Yass is a Republican mega donor who has funneled $130 million since 2020 into PACs and a right-of-center think tank, the Club for Growth. Isn't that nice? Which then funnels money to libertarian GOP lawmakers. And this is the world that we now live in. Mercantilism. It's not about capitalism. It's about the merger of big government with big business. So we shall see. And that's it. Thank you very much for listening. You have a good week, and I will talk to you next Saturday.